Pressing her fingers to her lips, she led him on tiptoes past a pair of long, moth-eaten curtains, behind which Harry supposed there must be another door, and, after skirting a large umbrella stand that looked as though it had been made from a severed troll's leg, they started up the dark staircase, passing a row of shrunken heads mounted on plaques on the wall. A closer look showed Harry that the heads belonged to house elves. All of them had the same rather snout-like nose. Harry's bewilderment deepened with every step he took. What on earth were they doing in a house that looked as though it belonged to the darkest of wizards?
"Mrs. Weasley, why, Ron and Hermione will explain everything, dear. I've really got to dash," Mrs. Weasley whispered distractedly. "There!"
They had reached the second landing.
"You're the door on the right. I'll call you when it's over."
And she hurried off downstairs again. Harry crossed the dingy landing, turned the bedroom doorknob, which was shaped like a serpent's head, and opened the door. He caught a brief glimpse of a gloomy, high-ceilinged, twin-bedded room. Then there was a loud, twittering noise, followed by an even louder shriek, and his vision was completely obscured by a large quantity of very bushy hair. Hermione had thrown herself onto him in a hug that nearly knocked him flat, while Ron's tiny owl, Pigwidgeon, zoomed excitedly round and round their heads.
"Harry! Ron, he's here! Harry's here! We didn't hear you arrive. Oh, how are you? Are you all right? Have you been furious with us? I bet you have. I know our letters were useless, but we couldn't tell you anything. Dumbledore made us swear we wouldn't. Oh, we've got so much to tell you, and you've got to tell us. The Dementors. When we heard, and that ministry hearing, it's just outrageous. I've looked it all up. They can't expel you. They just can't. There's provision in the Decree for the Restriction of Underage Sorcery for the use of magic in life-threatening situations."
"Let him breathe, Hermione,"
said Ron, grinning, closing the door behind Harry. He seemed to have grown several more inches during their month apart, making him taller and more gangly-looking than ever, though the long nose, bright red hair, and freckles were the same. Hermione, still beaming, let go of Harry, but before she could say another word, there was a soft whooshing sound, and something white soared from the top of a dark wardrobe and landed gently on Harry's shoulder.
"Hedwig!"
The snowy owl clicked her beak and nibbled his ear affectionately as Harry stroked her feathers.
"She's been in a right state," said Ron. "Pecked us half to death when she brought your last letter. Look at this."
He showed Harry the index finger of his right hand, which sported a half-healed but clearly deep cut.
"Oh, yeah," Harry said. "Sorry about that, but I wanted answers, you know." "We wanted to give them to you, mate," said Ron. "Hermione was going spare. She kept saying you'd do something stupid if you were stuck all on your own without news. But Dumbledore made us..."
"Swear not to tell me," said Harry. "Yeah, Hermione's already said." The warm glow that had flared inside him at the sight of his two best friends was extinguished as something icy flooded the pit of his stomach. All of a sudden, after yearning to see them for a solid month, he felt he would rather run, and Hermione left him alone. There was a strange silence in which Harry stroked Hedwig automatically, not looking at either of the others.
"He seemed to think it was best," said Hermione rather breathlessly. "Dumbledore, I mean."
"Right," said Harry. He noticed that her hands too bore the marks of Hedwig's beak, and found that he was not at all sorry.
"I think he thought you were safest with the Muggles," Ron began.
"Yeah?" said Harry, raising his eyebrows. "Have either of you been attacked by Dementors this summer?"
"Well, no. But that's why he's had people from the Order of the Phoenix tailing you all the time."